Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the fifth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I hope that everyone is having a wonderful feast. And I hope that there are many things that you can take away from this feast, so when you go back home, that you will be able to grow and overcome, draw close to God, continue in the way of God, be faithful to God, love God and serve God in every way. Well, today, let's ask the question, what are the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or heaven, that God has given or revealed to us? Now, you go back at the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, everything was perfect, everything was fine. God set before them choices, and they had to choose whether they would obey God and keep his commandments by eating of the tree of life, or whether they would follow their own conscience and listen to Satan the devil instead of listening to God. So you know what happened. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they wanted to decide for themselves what was good, what was evil, what was right, what was wrong, what was righteousness, what was wickedness. Well, you know what happened with that. And you know the account of Cain and Abel, and you know the account of Enoch, and you know the account of Noah and the flood and his family. And you know the account then of scattering all the nations in the world because they wanted to again go their own way instead of go the way of God. And you know the account of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and how that Abraham was commended because he obeyed the voice of God, kept his charge, his commandments, his statutes, and his judgment, and his law. And also, Abraham had faith. God revealed to him a lot of things coming clear down to our time. Then God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, using Moses as the one to minister and serve to them and bring them the laws and commandments of God. And how after all the miracles in bringing them out and crossing through the Red Sea, they still persisted in their sins and their rebellion. Nevertheless, when they got to Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments of God, they couldn't stand the voice of God and all the sound of the trumpet and the voice of God giving his Ten Commandments to them. So they said, Moses, you go listen to God and you tell us what he says and we'll do all that he says. And remember, God took them up on that. Well, when they were to go into Promised Land, they didn't want to go in. And so then God corrected them again, sentenced them to wander for another 38 and a half years in the wilderness, and for everyone over 20 to die in the wilderness. Then their children would come in to the land. So let's come to Deuteronomy 29, and let's begin here so we can understand how it is that God works. Now, he gave all the laws, all the commandments, all the blessings, all the cursings, many warnings over and over and over again. So I want you to read all of Deuteronomy 29, 30, 31, 32, especially the Song of Moses, because that's a prophecy from his time clear down to ours, and what would happen in the end of the age. All right, Deuteronomy 29 and verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab. That's where he gave Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, and a reaffirmation of the covenant. continuing besides the covenant which he made with them at Horeb. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Your eyes have seen the great trials, the signs, and those of great miracles. Yet, verse 4 is a key. Yet, the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to hear, correction, and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. That'd be a good thing if you could hear with your ears. Man, can you imagine what that would look like? Okay. So then he reminded them, for the 40 years they were wandering, all those who survived, you have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Now, after he reminds them of the curses again, the rest of the chapter here, let's come down to the last verse, verse 29 of Deuteronomy 29. Key verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And there are a lot of secret things that we don't know. But there are a whole lot more of the secret things we do know than they did back here in Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, so that we may do all the words of this law. So he revealed to them his law. And of course then, down through history, we have the whole history of Israel and Judah and their obedience and disobedience, mostly disobedience, all the way down to the time of Christ, all the way to his birth, miracles associated with that, beginning of his ministry, and things associated with that. Now remember, he began his ministry with a temptation, as we have found in Matthew, the 4th chapter. And let's understand this. What was the first temptation with Adam and Eve? Remember that? First temptation was to eat the fruit, and they failed. What was the major temptation, the first one, the official temptation of Jesus Christ by Satan the devil? Very similar indeed. Command that these stones become bread so he could eat them. But notice Jesus' answer was the correct one. Man. Now, in Hebrew, that's Adam or Adam. Man. Who was the first Adam? The fleshly one that God made in the Garden of Eden. Who is the second Adam? Jesus Christ, the Lord from heaven, the spiritual one. So when Satan tempted him, this was, how shall we say, the battle of the new covenant. Now, Jesus could have changed the stones into bread, couldn't he? But he didn't, did he? Now, why? If he would have, he would have obeyed the voice of Satan, the devil. What did Adam and Eve do? They obeyed the voice of Satan, the devil. That's why Jesus' answer was very clear. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3 and Luke 4:4, in addition to Matthew 4:4. Okay? Then all the rest of the temptations. But I just want to show the similarity between it. Likewise with the children of Israel and with us. They had things revealed to them. No one, even by himself, can discover the laws of God, the commandments of God, the nature of God. God has to reveal them. and he has revealed it and published it and given it to the whole world. But isn't it interesting? Let's come back here to Matthew 13, where it talks about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And let's see something very interesting concerning that. Matthew 13. Now, how many Bibles are there in the world? Well, nearly one for every human being on earth. And God said, that is Christ in Matthew 24, this gospel shall be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Now, how thorough of a witness, how complete of a witness, I think we're going to be overwhelmed at what a great witness that God is going to give. See, the Word of God is available. But the key is this. You can hear it, you can read it, but unless you believe it and obey it, you cannot have understanding. That's why Jesus spoke to them in parable. All right? Now let's come here to Matthew 13 again, and let's read this and see what this reveals to us. Now, verse 11, notice this statement by Jesus. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for just a minute. Mysteries means secrets. Now, it hasn't been given to the world to know. The most they can know is what God has revealed in the Old Testament, if they're willing to listen. But they're not. It has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now that's something to really think about. That's why God does not want us to take a lukewarm attitude toward his word and toward our calling and toward eternal life, because the understanding that we have comes from God. It's been given to us to know. To them, in seeing they don't see, in hearing they don't hear, and neither do they understand, and that's the dividing line between those who belong to Jesus Christ and the world. And Satan the devil is always there, as we saw through the parables, trying to infiltrate, trying to take away, trying to disturb what God has given to you. It's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now let's come back here to Ephesians, the first chapter. And we will see that this is spiritually understood. There are a lot of things that we have to do. There are things that God has to do. And how is it that God is able to have his church in the middle of this sinful world, and the sinful world hardly pays attention to it, yet what God is doing in his churches, that is, I say churches because there are many different congregations and fellowships and churches around the world, but overall it is the church of God. Christ is the head of it. And he is able to do the things that he does without the world barely noticing it. However, we are to preach the gospel, and the gospel message is a warning message, and the gospel message is to tell people how they can also come to have these things revealed to them, and we will see the steps necessary to do that. Now, let's pick it up here. Let's begin right here in verse 3 of Ephesians 1. These are some of the most profound words in the New Testament and what God has done. Because, see, before all of this started, God had his plan already predetermined. So predestination does not mean that you were called before the foundation of the world. You didn't even exist. It means God's plan was there for those who would seek him and repent. So let's pick it up here in verse 3. And remember, this is a blessing from God. Every one of us that have the Holy Spirit of God are important to God, as we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. And if we have the Spirit of God and understanding of the Word of God, those are blessing in spiritual things that have come from God, revealed to us. Whether it comes from the Bible because he inspired it to be written, whether it comes because God is intervening in our lives, however it comes, God is working with us. And how he works with us is a secret or a mystery to the world. Now, the world, on the other hand, has the mystery of lawlessness, Babylon the Great. So that is the battleground. Let's read on. Verse 4. I want you to think about how you came to wanting the truth. I want you to think about the circumstances that you were in, because there was a time when you first started, and God took note of that. And why are every one of us here? Well, if you're a terror, you're here under false pretenses. But the terrors have been pretty well scattered, and we need to always be diligent to make sure that they don't take root. However, think on this deeply. Let's read it. According as he has personally chosen us for himself. God determined before the foundation of the world what he was going to do. And he has chosen us based upon that plan before the foundation of the world, in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. Now that's quite a thing to really grasp and understand. Now we don't have a sign on us saying, I'm of God. It's a secret to the world. They don't know. They might see your good behavior. They might see that you're a loving and kind and considerate person, and that you care for other people, and that you have character. But God knows the heart, and God is working with you in your heart and in your mind. And that's a secret of God. Verse 5, having predestinated us for sonship to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will. I want you to notice something here. Verse 3, for himself. Verse 4, for himself. Verse 5, to himself. God is our Father. That's what we really need to grasp, because God is revealing to us and making known to us the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Let's read on. For sonship to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us object of his grace in the beloved Son. That's an awesome statement that God has done this. Now, many times, because we see there are things we need to overcome, we get discouraged, or we think God has gone way off, or we think that, you know, my conversion is futile. Not so. When you have sins that are discovered in your mind, That's the Holy Spirit revealing it to you so you can repent. That's why. Never get discouraged. Never get down. Never, ever lessen your trust and love and faith in God. Because God loves everyone that he calls. God loves everyone who yields to him, even those whom he corrects. Jesus said, as many as I love, I correct. Therefore, repent. Now, how's that for God being for you? To even show your own sins, to get rid of them. That's one of the secrets of God, too. Now, we're going to cover some of them here and go through a good number of them. And most of them, you already know, but you don't know that they are the secrets of God. Hidden from the world, though they have eyes but can't see, ears but can't hear. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. Now notice verse 9. Very key verse for us to understand. Having made known to us the mystery, or that is the secret, of his own will, according to the good pleasure which he proposed in himself. That in the divine plan for the fulfillment of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Yes, in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own will. Now that sets the stage for understanding. What are the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of God? So let's begin with it. Number one, our calling. Our calling. God is the one who calls. God is the one who deals in our lives. Yes, we have to seek God, and then he answers that. Our calling. Okay? Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Now also, just like we pointed out yesterday, the reason that the scribes and Pharisees didn't accept Jesus was because he didn't come to them their way. Likewise with us. God is not choosing the intelligent, important people of this world. Notice who God is calling. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 1. So we need to understand our calling. God is the one who calls us. All right? For you see your calling, brethren, that there are not many who are wise according to the flesh, not many who are powerful, not many who are high-born among you. Rather, God has chosen the foolish things of the world because he can convert and change them, so that he might put to shame those who are wise. And what happens to those who proclaim themselves to be wise? They became fools. And God has chosen the weak things of the world so that he might put to shame the strong things. And the lowborn of the world, and the despised has God chosen, even the things that are counted nothing, in order that he might bring to nothing the things that are, so that no flesh might glory in his presence. No, we glory in God, not because of who we are and what we're doing, see. Now notice what God does. Here's part of the secret of the calling. Now, I've got 14 of them listed here. Okay, so we're going to go through each one. But we'll also discover that there are many other subsidiary secrets that apply to us as well. Now notice, upon conversion, verse 30, but you are of him in Christ Jesus, who has made to us wisdom from God, even righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is, as it is written, the one who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, that's what we are to do. Give God all the credit. So the calling of God, all right? Let's go ahead. We answer the call. How do we answer the call? By wanting the truth, by wanting to overcome, by wanting to know who God is. And what does God do at that time? He sends, now if you don't have the sermon on it, get it, the Holy Spirit and the seven spirits of God, which are the eyes of God, going throughout the whole earth, seeking those who are seeking him. The call is out there. That's the preaching of the gospel to the world. That's part of the parable of the sowing of the seed and those who respond. Okay? Number one, calling of God. Number two, answering the call. Okay? Now what happens when you answer the call? You are answering the call. Then God begins to draw you. First of all, God finds you with one of the seven spirits that go out looking for those who are seeking God. And those who really want God, and those who are willing to repent, and those who are willing to come to God on his terms. And remember this, that's the key thing. You come to God on his terms, with his word, with his truth. You respond to God. Now, then God begins to draw number three. We find that in John 6:44. Isn't that interesting? Now, a lot of these things you know and have heard of, but I want you to see the process on how God reveals himself to those that answer the call and not to the world. That's one of the secrets of God. One of the secrets of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now let's read it here in John 6:44. And let's see something about this, that there is a spiritual barrier through which people who do not seek God, yield to God, can go through. They may wonder about God, but they don't understand about God. See, because it hasn't been given to them. So remember that. There is that absolute barrier. That's why the unconverted don't understand. They may have Bibles in their homes. They may even be practicing some form of Christianity. And before Jesus. However, they don't come to God on God's terms. They come to God on men's terms. And God does not accept that. Verse 44. No one, read that again. No one, what does that mean? No one. No one can come to me unless the Father. Remember where we read back there in Ephesians, the first chapter, that the Father himself, twice, to himself, for himself, unless the Father who sent me, Christ, draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Very interesting indeed, isn't it? See, God the Father and Jesus Christ work together in this. So when the drawing begins, then something else happens if you respond and yield to God. We'll see it. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. Now, how do you hear from the Father? By God's Spirit coming to you, and you begin yielding to God, and you are taught of God because you want the Word of God, and you know that these are the words of life. Now, let's see how that is when God begins to draw you. Remember what happened when you first came to the truth and wanted it? There was something that just was impelling that you had to find out. That's all part of the drawing of God. And that's the first action of the Father in our lives in calling us. And the first action of the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us and draw us. All right? Let's read it. John 14. And here is how you begin to respond, by keeping the commandments of God. Wanted to know about God. Question, you know, Lord, what should I do? And we have a book entitled that, Lord, what should I do? So as we have seen here, repentance is number 4. And then, of course, number 5 is receiving the Holy Spirit in you. So how does this repentance come about? God looks down upon you, has mercy upon you, all of those that he is calling. And then he does something else in the drawing. So let's pick it up here in Romans, the 2nd chapter. So here's the beginning of coming out of the world, coming out of our way, coming out of the things that we do of ourselves, coming out of the religions of men, even though they are called Christian. Romans, the 2nd chapter, verse 1. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, whoever judges another, for in that which you judge the other, you are condemning your own self, for you who judge another are doing the same thing. That's why there needs to be repentance, to understand what you're doing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth upon those who commit such things, as listed here in Romans, the 1st chapter. Now, do you think yourself, O man, whoever is judging those who commit such things, and you are practicing them yourself, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Now, this then is the conviction of sin, right here. Conviction of your own personal sins. Now, when that starts, and you really realize what a sinner that you are, then God responds again. This is another one of his secrets, okay? God grants repentance. Let's read it, okay? Verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the graciousness of God leads you to repentance? So as God is drawing you, he is leading you. God is convicting you in heart and mind spiritually because his Spirit is there with you. And if you respond, then you will repent. And when you repent, let's come back here to Acts, the 2nd chapter. Okay? Repentance must be followed by baptism. Now think about this in the world. Those who claim they're Christian, very few anymore, do any baptizing whatsoever. Now you know the scriptures I'm going to, because these things have been revealed to you and you know and understand them. But let's see this, see? All right? Number 4 is repentance. And we will see number 5 is forgiveness. So hold your place here in Acts, the second chapter, and let's see forgiveness. Let's come back to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Okay? Romans 3. You have repentance and then forgiveness. And God leads us to repentance, and God has provided forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, let's pick it up here. Remember the first part of chapter 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even the Jews, and what if some of them didn't believe? Does that annul the word of God? No. God is always true. God is always right. And he is the one who leads us then to forgiveness. How is that accomplished? That is accomplished through the sacrifice, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood only. And that is the only way you can have your sins forgiven. And your repentance is toward God directly, not through a man. All right, let's pick it up here. Verse 23, for all have sinned, transgressed the laws and commandments of God, and have come short of the glory of God. But upon repentance, because we saw that in chapter 2, are being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, justified means having your sins forgiven and being put into right standing with God. Now, when that happens, then there has to be baptism. So let's go on here. Concerning Jesus Christ, verse 25, whom God has openly manifested to be a propitiation through faith in his blood in order to demonstrate his righteousness in respect to the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, yes, to publicly declare his righteousness in granting this justification in the present time, that he might be just and the one who justifies the one who is of the faith of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to show it's not of works. All right? Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, forgiveness, baptism. All right? Let's go forward with this. All right? Number 5 is forgiveness. Now, why is baptism, though a lot of people may practice it, one of the secrets of God? Because, see, baptism requires, since we're here in Romans, we won't go back to Acts, the second chapter, we'll proceed to Romans, the sixth chapter. Because there is something about baptism that is a secret of God. So let's read it right here. All right? Concerning baptism, Romans 6. Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? So the whole substance of baptism is not the symbolism that people would see. Because you must put to death the body of sins. You must get rid of the sin within. So when you are baptized, you are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Now notice, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into the death. It's not a baptism, it is the baptism. Dying, the old carnal self. Now, since we have to be converted and change and grow and overcome, we can be thankful we're raised out of the watery grave. Now then, here's what we are to do. so that just as Christ was raised from the dead according to the glory of the Father, in the same way we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been conjoined together in the likeness of his death, and here is the promise, and this is the end result of the secret of God, so also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now those things are all fantastic secrets of God. Now the world may read of these things, but they don't perceive. They may hear of these things, but they don't understand. So let's take a short break, and we'll continue and come back in a few minutes.